Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let me ask you a question. If you see a bird flying on the sky, and you see a bird trapped in a cage, which one better speaks for a Christian? Now, for some people not yet believe in Christ, you may think, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be trapped in a religion. I don't want to be forced, as if every Sunday I have to come to the meeting. I feel like if I believe in Christ, I feel like a bird trapped in a cage. So you think you are the bird flying around, free. You don't want to come to know Christ. You don't want to become a believer. But actually, it's the other way around. When you are not a believer, when you have not received Christ, actually, you are the bird trapped in the cage. You are the one who trapped in sin. Maybe all kinds of addiction. Maybe all kinds of loving for this world. You are trapped by all kinds of things. You are trapped by sin and the power of sin. Whereas those who believe in Christ, He set us free. Christians are the ones that are flying around. Imagine a dolphin trapped in a swimming pool. It won't be a happy dolphin. A bird flying on the sky is much more happier than the birds in the cage. Imagine a prisoner set free from his cell. Now he being set free, how can we use our freedom? The birds can fly everywhere. The dolphin can swim in the big ocean. And the prisoner set free. He's a free man. He can walk around. But we ask ourselves, now, what are we going to do with our life? The best thing we can do is to serve our God. So that's why we talk about disciple training. God wants us to follow Him. So we are not the birds flying around, nothing to do. We are not the dolphins swimming around, going nowhere. But we have a purpose in our life. And how can we know what would be the purpose in our life? Thank God that He shows us, He tells us lots of things. So when we want to know about Him, we read the Bible. We really study it. And what we can know about God's work. What He has been doing in creation, we know how the world become the world like now. And we know in the past, God has done, because man, the falling of man, God has done redemption. And those He saved, He called them to follow Him. So now, as we are freed from the cage, as we are freed, now we know what God has been doing. God has been telling us what He has been doing all the time. So we, if we want to serve Him, and we know He's doing work all the time, now we can continue to do His work. Immediately, our life find a purpose. Because we see our master has been doing the work all the time. Imagine a worker coming to the work site, construction site. He sees the first floor being built, second floor, third floor, fifth floor. He can see, we are at the 50th floor. So my master is going to build up as well. So we can find the foundation, what he's doing. This is what God has been doing all the time. We know how he's doing his work. So we can continue to do the work. So we can have a purposeful life because we know what the Master has been doing. And we know His way. By studying the Bible, we can know He's a righteous God. Yes, we want to build it, but He has to build it in His own way. God is a holy God. We can't use other material to build this building. It must be according to the Master's wants, according to His requirement. We know God's way. He is merciful God. So when we study the Bible, we find our purpose because we know what God is doing and we know His way. Even though He has a job to do, He has a job giving each one of us to do today. But we must follow His way, not our own way. And more than that, we know God's character. We know that He's a God of love. He's a God of holy God. So we know how to relate to Him during this. He's not a horrible master. He has mercy. He has doing all this out of His great love for mankind. So by studying the Bible, we are not just achieving, oh, I have read this that book. No, we are seeing what we are doing, how to live according to God's purpose, according to God's way, how to relate to a living God. Not when we read the Bible, not knowing God's, not just knowing God, but we also see many people in the past. We can see their weaknesses. For Adam, what can we learn from Adam? I want some response. When you read the story of Adam, what can we learn from him? Anyone?
Pray on his wife.
He disobeyed God, isn't it? God says, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. But he has gone his own way. So we can learn from his mistakes. What can we learn from Cain? Adam's son. He offered to God all his hard labor from the land, which speaks of he is relying his hard work to please God, not relying on God's revelation. So Cain is someone who trusts in his hard work. He came before God by himself, his good work. What can we learn from Abraham? He followed God by faith. But when he has been waiting for a long, long time, how come God promised a son and he has never given me a son? So he think of his own way. He tried to get Hagar to give him another son. So he can't wait. Yes, there are some positive side we can learn from Abraham or from all these people in the Old Testament. But we can learn from them, their weaknesses as well. Now, Joseph is someone we can't find much mistakes. Because he represents Christ. He's a type for Christ. How about the others? Moses. What can we learn from Moses? Joseph, what can we learn from Moses when you think of? Yes, he hit the rock, isn't it? Yes. He got so carried away with this people, he got carried away in his anger. He hit the rock. Now, when God appeared to Moses, I can't do it. Some people say in the first 40 years, he think, I can save the Israelites. But after he made the mistake killing the Egyptian, he fled to the wilderness. And 40 years as a shepherd, he think he can't do anything. But when God appeared to him, God says, you can't, but I can. He has to believe in God. So we can learn from Moses. We can learn from David. David is such a good man, but he made mistakes. What did he do? What is his weakness? Anyone? He
commit adultery.
And even getting worse.
He killed.
Yes. 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 Uriah, isn't it? So we can learn from David. He even he pleased God's heart, a man after God's heart, but yet he made mistake. And Saul and Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He has so much confidence with himself. So as we read the Bible, we can know about God, but also we can know about the weaknesses of man. Now, how does that relate to us? So when we know all these people in the past, we can learn from them. How does that all this application apply in my life? So what can we gain from reading the Bible? This is the point I want to ask. We can find wisdom. We can learn from them. We can find encouragement. So tell me which part of the Bible you find encouragement. Can you think of? Jessica seems to think of something. Encouragement?
Philippians.
More? Tell me more.
The gospel.
The gospel, you find encouragement. Mm. Can you be more specific? Say, name a person, what he has done, and maybe he's such an encouragement to you.
Paul in the Bible.
Who?
Paul.
Okay. Yeah. For me, when I think of encouragement, when I see how Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and yet, Jesus know about all this, know about his weaknesses, and yet Jesus still loved him. So I find, even though I fail, actually, I don't know much about myself, but God knows me. He accepted me, and he forgave me if I come before him. So I find encouragement, even from Peter's denial. So I find comfort and strength. Where do you find comfort or strength in the Bible? Tim Tam, think of anything where you can find comfort and or strength.
I think it's in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, which talks about God being the God of comfort, that we can comfort each other because God comforts us.
Yes. Strength. You can think of any incidents in the Old Testament or New Testament. Any contribution? You can find all. Thinking of that, I can't find some strength to go on. Eunice?
In the Psalms.
Good.
So
from different parts of the Bible, from some stories, even from Psalms, we can find comfort or strength. David said, "You are my rock, you are my refuge." Think about the life of David. God strengthened him, provide for him, care for him. He can hide from Saul. So all these stories, all these things happened in the past relate to us today. So we can find hope In hopeless situation, we can find correction. Our ways are wrong. Can you think of any? Or even warning or guidance? Can you think of any? When you are suffering, you need hope. Think of anyone in the Bible who suffered a lot?
Paul.
Who? Paul. Okay. I think of Joseph suffered putting in jail. Yet he has put his hope in God. Correction. Think of warning. How about warning? People who read New Testament. Eva. Warning. Some bad example you think of? No? Judas, I think of. He may follow the Lord. People think he's disciples, but yet he never really take Jesus as his as Lord. He called him master, something like that. Teacher. So that's a warning. We may appear to be disciples. People think you are disciples, but actually you are not. You are not having a real relationship with the Lord. So that serves as a warning. How about guidance? When Jesus' disciples got people got challenged Jesus' disciples, what did they do? They went back to ask the Lord, isn't it? They asked Jesus questions. People say something like this, what should we do? So they find guidance from reading God's words. So throughout all this, we can find help when we study the Bible. So Bible study is really important so we know about God. We know about the weakness of man, the weakness in you as well. And that applies to us in our situation, in our difficulties. And also, when we read the Bible, why do I ask these young people to study the Bible? This is also a training for you to commit yourself. Commitment. So it's more about not just you finish something, but it changed you. Not you, what you have done, but your person. It's a character training, building your character. You can persevere. You won't give up easily. So building your strength. So when I ask you to finish reading the Bible, I'm not asking you to put that information in your head. I want you to become a different person. God wants us to be someone who are serious with Him, and we won't give up easily. So we will persevere, building up the strength. So you will, suppose by reading, if we persist, keep going on, we will be a stronger, skilled worker for God. So this is very important. Last time I also mentioned about something called spiritual growth. Now spiritual growth, look at it this way. When we see the Old Testament, when God led the people out from Egypt, through the wilderness, God trained them, isn't it? But before they go, when they came to the promised land, they have to fight many battles. So not all about all the knowledge in their head, they have to fight spiritual battles. That means there are lots of trials, even difficulties, even suffering times, even affliction in their lives. So when, remember what we have seen, say just now, when you read the Bible, you can see what God has done in the past, how different people experience God, and you know what that means. Now it comes to your turn. In your difficulty, in your study, in your family, in your work, you experience trials. You experience suffering. You experience affliction. Now we can put what we learned into practice. We can only overcome all these spiritual battles. Remember when the Israelites, when they entered into the Promised Land, there are different tribes. Actually, different tribes speaks of different enemies, isn't it? Sometimes we can overcome them one by one. They don't appear immediately all together coming towards you. God allowed us to overcome the enemies one and one, one battle after another battle, one king after another king. So, dear friends, dear Christians, what we experience in our life, difficulties, challenges, someone bullied you at school, someone not being kind to you, someone misunderstands you, someone accused you of doing something wrong. All this is putting you into the test, trials. You may be angry, you may be disappointed. All these are your enemies. You may have addiction in games, addiction in, for adults, they may have addiction in drugs, addiction in gambling, addiction in alcohol, addiction in all sorts of things, even addiction in making money. Or maybe you are just don't care. Laziness is your enemy. Indifferent, I don't care. I don't care. Is this your life? These are all our enemies. Fear. I'll lose my job, I'll lose my health, I'll lose the one I love. Worries. All these are our enemies. We have to face them, each one. And only by overcoming them, notice the bracket I put, in Him, all these difficulties drive us, push us back to Him. Sometimes it may not be difficulty, sometimes it's a task, it's a responsibility. Sometimes I ask you to be song leader. Oh, this is challenging for you, I'm scared. But how can we know how to be song leader? How can we know how to speak for Him? How can we know how to share for Him? How can we know how to serve Him? By coming back to Him. Relate to Him. He will teach you. All these difficulties either drive you away from Him or push you closer to Him. So God allows all this enemy not to destroy Israel, but to push the Israelites come back to rely on God and experience His power and experience His strength and experience victory in Christ. So dear friends, when you read the Bible, it's meant to affect you. It was meant to help us to put that into experience is not knowledge in our head, but it becomes a real help in times of trouble. And your life will be overcoming worries, fears, laziness, addiction, one by one, overcoming them. Maybe sometime today, some of it is very strong for you to overcome today. But God allows this to know your own weakness and drives us back before Him. So, this spiritual growth is not by just, oh, if I read the Bible, if I pray, I'll grow. No. God puts our faith in real life, in the test, by giving us the required environment to cause us sometimes panic, to cause us in fear, worry, oh, the enemy is so strong, I can't face them. And push us back to Him. And then we realize how weak we are and how strong He is. That will help us to experience, and we will be walking in faith with Him. Okay, now, for spiritual growth is one part, but we can get extra help somewhere, fellowship life, church life, and body life. In other words, you are not alone. God saved you. Yes, we can study His word, but you are not alone. You are not alone to face all the challenges. God put us in a body. God put us with brothers and sisters. So, how do we find help? How do we experience this church life? Now, if you ask someone, what is church life? He may think church life is coming to church on Sunday, sitting there, listening, gaining something, yes, that's very good, that's helpful, bye-bye. And after the meeting, just go home. So church life to them is just spending some time listening something helpful. But actually, it's more than that. Church life is not coming to a spiritual school. We gather not just to learn something. You know, when you go to school, you learn something, and then you just go home, isn't it? Church life is not coming to a spiritual feast or restaurant. Okay, when you go to a restaurant, you have your own food. I feel satisfied, and you go home. That's it. You don't care about people sitting next to you. You don't have to make friends with them. You don't have to know them. You don't have to relate to them. No relationship. When you come to restaurant, you just fast food, just eat your own food. Church life is not coming to a spiritual feast. Church life is not coming for a spiritual, like a spiritual school, learn something in the mind or be fed. Some people say church life, I have problem, I have fear. I feel lonely, I feel sad. So I come to church, listen to the message, I feel happy, I feel joyful. They treat church life as a spiritual clinic. I find help. So I got problem, I come here, find some help. Okay. So when you go to hospital, do you find the patients have a relationship to one another? No. Each one just think of solving my own problem. So when you come to church, just think of my problem being solved, my weakness, my pain, my suffering. Just think about yourself. No. Church life is more than that. Yes, when we gather together, we find help. Yes, when we gather, we find we are fed spiritually. We find strength. But church life is more, then you may ask me, what is church life? What is the reality of church life? Actually, Neil is talking about the church today. So go home and listen to his message as well. Now in Romans, when he talks about church life, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. You see, church life is about relationship. When Neil is talking about Romans with us, isn't it? So later on, when he comes to chapter 12, we can see a lot of about relating to one another. Be kindly affectionate. Show kindness. Affectionate. You care about that person to one another. So let me ask you, you care about the one next to you? Do you know him? Do you know his... Can you share his joy? Can you know if he's, how he's doing? Is he in pain? What does he need? With brotherly love. Now, in honor giving preference, that means you think he's good. You treasure that person. Giving honor, giving preference. He's better. He's good. You appreciate that person to one another. So often when we gather, you think, oh, I'm good. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm smarter than him. I'm taller than him. I'm good looking. So you think you are the best. But when we gather together, giving honor, in honor, giving preference to one another, you appreciate each one. He's different, and yet you treasure him. You give him, you honor him, you show respect to that person, giving preference to one another. In Romans chapter 12, 16, when Paul talks about church life, it's always not just singing songs together, listening to the message. No, it's about relationship. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your opinion. So as we gather, we think I'm better than him. I'm smarter than him. I have a better idea. Set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. He's stupid. He's not as clever as I am. But associate with the humble. Do you associate with someone not as good as you think? No, after the message, I disappeared in 60 seconds. Boom. Sometimes after Auburn meeting, someone rushed out of the door, tried to catch him. Wow, you never as fast as him. So you walk down towards him, boom, he has gone already. You can't associate with anyone if you leave so fast. So when you, brothers and sisters, when we come here, church life is about one another, relating to one another. Associate, honor, giving preference, affectionate. See all this work? Be of the same mind. I don't agree with you. I don't. So if you are think you are very special, can't bear with other stupid idea, no wonder you can't associate with him. Owe no one anything except to love one another. If you don't love him, you owe him. You owe him love. Owe no one anything except love one another. You always owe, you need to love him, in other words. You owe him love. You should give others love. So as we gather, what is church life? Church life is love one another. What is church life? Affectionate with one another. What is church life? Don't think you are so good. Honor one another. Love one another. Romans 15:7. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We may come from different ethnic groups. We may come from different parts of China, different parts of the world. We may have so much difference in life experience. Oh, he's Adam. I'm young. Nothing in common. I don't know what can I talk to him? As if you are closing the door. You don't want to have anything associated. But it says receive one another. Receive. Welcome him. Accept him. Accept the difference. What is your heart? So church life is receive one another with all his shortcoming. Someone may look very different. Someone may have, I'm not saying it's wrong to have tattoo, but someone may look very different from us. He may dress very differently to us. Oh, I'm scared of these people. With all the chains, all the back suits. Oh, what kind of brother is he? We may wonder. But church life is receive one another. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. He may be very rude, offending you. Can we be tender-hearted? Can we be kind to one another? If you disappeared in 60 seconds after the meeting, you don't have a chance to be... I don't even have a chance to be rude to you. You disappeared already, isn't it? You don't have a chance to forgive me because you disappear so fast. So we have to stay and relate. Try to know one another. For me, it's difficult. I've got bad memory. I can't remember all the names. So forgive me. Forgive me for forgetting your name. Okay? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another, encouraging one another. I don't know what to say. Sharing. Speaking to one another. See? All this about relationship. So Paul is encouraging Christians to be encouraging one another. With what? With psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If you don't know, get to know them. So you have something to say, at least. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another. So I purposely put out this one another, one another, one another. To emphasize, church life is about together. Similar words in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. In the other way, that's warning one another. Oh, don't do this. This is bad for you. We always want to be the nice guy saying positive. But in here, admonishing one another. You have to warn if you see your brother going the wrong way. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, what is church life? Church life is one another, teaching, admonishing one another. What is church life? Church life is bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So sometimes on this WhatsApp group, WeChat group, I always find some Christians complaining about other Christians. Bearing with one another. Not because we are all perfect people that we stay together. No. We all have our imperfection, and yet we bearing with one another. This is love. This shows love. And forgiving one another. So that makes church life very special. We are not perfect, but yet God is among us, and we can learn how to bear with one another, forgiving one another. In Thessalonians, it even says, comfort one another. So when someone has having a difficult times, would you dare to come forward and say something nice to that person, comforting one another? But do you have to know about that person first? Is he facing challenges, difficulties in his life, in his family, in his work? So you get to know that person before you can share his joy or his pain. And then you can comfort one another. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. So you can see compassion for one another. So all this church life really trained us to be like Christ, showing compassion. If you just come here to listen and go, you don't care about the people around you. You don't know them. After a long time, you still don't know them. You are just attending the meeting, but you are not having a church life. A church life is knowing the people, showing love, support, compassion, forgiving them if they are not perfect. And you need forgiveness from them as well. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So you are serving it one another. So as you are with the saints, you love them and you serve them. I'm glad that some young people come early and help me to set up chairs. I'm glad that some young people stay behind and stack up the chairs and put it back. So they are learning to serve as well. So this is church life. So you don't come here just to learn, but we come here to have a body life, a church life, relating to one another. So disciple training is not about just knowing something about God and think about yourself. No, when you know about God's work, it's about God's people. You will relate to them. Their growth is your joy. When you see they are doing good, you share the joy. We have a family. This is God's family. So when we follow God, when we follow Jesus, let us know how to live a body life in Christ. Okay? So this is my message today. Any questions? Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you saved us, you called us. We pray that we You teach us how to know you more and know about your work and know your way and teach us how to serve you and live among brothers and sisters. Teach us to live a body life relating to one another. Teach us how to love one another, receive one another, be kind to one another, how to bear with one another, forgiving one another, and comfort one another in Christ. Teach us, Lord, let our life be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.